Again, what a blessing. So, in case you... Everybody, anybody else? I mean, I haven't even started yet. Goodness. Please give me a minute. In case you guys didn't notice, I'm not Pastor Jordan. I'm not the head pastor here. I'm the youth pastor. And he's in Washington, D.C., he got to go back for his dad's birthday, and he was doing a wedding. And if you get a chance when you see him come back, ask him about the wedding. It was a barn wedding. And he's like, this is my first ever barn wedding. I was like, what was it, two cows, a goat? I mean, what's different than a barn wedding than a normal wedding? And so, but ask him about it when you get a chance, because I'm sure he would love to tell you more about it. I got to see some pictures. It was pretty cool. So I know this is what you guys have all been waiting for. You know, I always start off my sermons with a horrible, horrible joke. And here it goes. So, there was Jesus and Satan. They were arguing, back and forth, bickering, about who was better with a computer. I think I got more laughs right now than I did in my last joke. So there they were. Finally, after so long, God just got fed up, and he's like, enough. I'm going to set up a test for you two, and after 2 hours, I will judge to see who got a better grade. Okay, they said. So they sat down, they just started working diligently, and they making spreadsheets, Word documents, emails with attachments. They did all kinds of things, anything. They were playing games, they did it all. Uploaded, downloaded. Finally, about 10 minutes left in the competition, started thundering and lightning outside. And rain came, and the power went out. And Satan, sitting there, oh, so angry, staring at his black screen, starts cursing and getting even more frustrated. Jesus sits there, and he sighs, and the power flickers, and it comes back on. And they both rebooted their computers, and as they did, Satan realizes he has nothing, and he's so angry. And he just starts yelling, and he looks over at Jesus who's sitting there, and he's printing out his stuff that he did. And he's like, this isn't fair. How is this? He cheated. And God looks at him and says, Jesus saves. If you like that joke, you need to hang out with me more often, because I've got tons of these. But no, think about that for a second. Jesus saves. Because Jesus saves, we call him our Savior. Right, all right? Now, we call him our Lord also because he should be ruling over our lives. Right? But do we really allow him to rule over our lives? That's the question we're hopefully going to be able to examine today. Because in Luke chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 46 to 43, if you look at it. That's not a mistake by our admin. That was what I requested for her to put on there. And the reason I did is because God spoke to me, and he just told me that you're not going to do what you were going to do, what you wanted to do. You're going to do what I wanted you to do. And I said, okay. I was trying to be obedient. So it doesn't happen often. The thing is we call Jesus our Lord. But why is it that we fail to give him total control? Why is it that we give him control over certain things, but we don't give him total control? We don't show our obedience through giving him total control, by acting according to what he's telling us to do. So sometimes we just need to say enough is enough. And stop living our own lives the way we want to live our lives and allow him lordship. Allow him to be the Lord. Because it's one thing to say that he's our Savior, but it's another to say that he's our Lord. But it's through obedience that we allow him to be our Lord. But what is obedience? So actually, I feel like the word obedience goes hand in hand with the word faith. And the reason I say that is because faith, I've got this definition of faith that says hearing what God says and acting accordingly. All right? Hearing what God says and acting accordingly. Because it's one thing to hear what God says and say, yes, I believe that. But it's another thing to put that into practice. That's when your faith is made real. Because it's very easy. I don't know. I know students, you're like, I'm tired of hearing this story about the guy in the waterfall. But Pastor Jordan used this a long time ago. And I've used it probably every week since. There's this guy, and he's out getting ready to tightrope across this Niagara Falls. And he's standing up there getting ready to go on. He's like, how many of you guys think I can do this? And everybody's like, yeah, you can do it. And then he's like, pulls out the blindfold, and he puts the blindfold on. He's like, how many of you think I can do a blindfold? They're like, yeah, you can do it, man. Then he stands up onto the rope, and he takes this chair, and he straps this chair to his back. And they're like, he's like, how many of you think I can do it with this chair on? And everybody's like, you can do it. You're the man. And then he says, I need a volunteer to sit in the chair. And the crowd went silent. They believed, but there was no action with their belief. So did they really believe that he could do it? Probably not. The thing is our faith is hearing what God says and acting accordingly. That's the obedience part, the acting accordingly. So with that in mind, I'm sure we've all had times where we've been disobedient. Some of you are thinking real hard right now. I know it doesn't take that long to think about this. I know we've had times where we've been disobedient to others, where we've been disobedient to God, where we've had others being disobedient to us. They didn't react the way we wanted them to react. They didn't act upon what we asked them to do or told them to do. Parents, I know in here, you're probably thinking, I could name a few this week. But at the same time, your sons and or daughters could probably be naming a few as well, where they just felt like they were unheard. Maybe this week you had a coworker who sat in on the meeting, knew exactly what they were supposed to do, and then dropped the ball. Maybe, just maybe, your spouse and you sat down and you had a conversation about some of these chores that were at home, and then you ended up doing them yourself. The thing is those times can be really frustrating to us. And in every right, Jesus has the right to be frustrated with us because we don't act upon what he says. But he doesn't get frustrated with us. He loves us. And he says, why? What's going on? I want you to listen to what I'm saying because it's going to be the best for you. I'm going to say something right now that I'm going to repeat later on, but the best day you could have outside of God's will doesn't even come close to the worst day you could have in his will. The best day you could have outside of God's will and doing what he has for you doesn't even compare to the worst day you could ever have in his will and doing what he wants you to do. I'm going to repeat that later on, but here's what I want to do. I want you to think about obedience. Close your eyes and think about obedience. What does obedience look like? As you're thinking about obedience, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're just going to jump right into scripture here. So, Father God, I just thank you for this day again. I thank you for the opportunity to be obedient, that you still speak to us even though we turn our backs and we are disobedient. You still stand there. You still speak to us. You still are caring for us even though we sometimes say that you're not our Lord, that we are our own Lords. God, I just ask that you would just give us the ability to think clearly today, to really examine what we're doing in our lives, Lord, and to give you lordship over them. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to jump right into Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And here we go. Jesus asks, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Pretty straightforward question. Parents, I'm sure you've probably had to ask your children this at some point. I am your mom. I am your dad. Why are you not doing what I say? And then they say, what? Oh, I didn't hear you. Did you really not hear me? All right. But I want to take this verse, though. I want to make sure we're doing this verse really looking at this within context. So let's look and kind of see, what did Jesus just say something? Did he just tell his disciples something? Is that why he's asking them why they're not listening? So actually, if you look, this just comes shortly after the Sermon on the Mount, all right, or the Sermon in the Plain. This is Jesus. He just gave a bunch of things to do and things to follow in his message. Some of the things that he said, he told us that we were to share the gospel, that he is the way. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Don't lie. Love your enemies. Give to the needy. Pray. Fast. Do good. Rely on him. Don't judge others. And that's just to name a few of the things. So Jesus has just said all these things to do. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say? This is a great question. But also for us, it presents a problem. Because we're just like the disciples. We tend to say, yes, Lord, you know, Sundays is great because we follow, we come to church, we follow, we say, today's the day, I'm going to change, I'm going to follow after the Lord with all I have. And then Monday happens. Then we end up going back to doing what we want to do, what we feel is best for us. So here's what I want to know. I want to think about a couple of the names that we call Jesus. We call him our Savior. We call him our Sanctifier, our Healer, our King. I mean, we got them all right there on the banner. But the one I want to focus on is Lord today. But what does the word Lord really mean? The definition of the word Lord was a title given to someone or something having power or authority or influence, a master or a ruler. Now, with this definition, do you call Jesus Lord accurately? I'm going to tell you, I fail. Because a lot of times I do my own thing. I don't follow after everything that God tells me to do. I mess up. Raise your hand if you've ever messed up in here. Yeah. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Go ahead and raise it now. No, just kidding. But with this definition, we all fall short. Because we tend to do our own thing. If someone's Lord over you, that you need to submit to their rule. That they're going to have influence in your life. Or they're going to be your master. Do we allow Jesus to be that? Can you honestly say that he's your Lord? Here's three questions I want you to think about. Do you submit to his rule? Does he influence your decisions? Do you obey his directions and do what he says? Think back to your last week, just this last week, the last 7 days leading up to today. Did you allow God to influence your decisions? Did you submit to his rule? Did you follow his directions? Did you obey him? He gives us opportunities throughout our week to be obedient to him through different things. Sometimes they're small, insignificant things, things that we would view as insignificant. Sometimes they're larger. But it's up to you to whether or not you're going to be obedient. So maybe this last week you can say, I did that. In every aspect, I did that. I followed God. I subjected myself to his rule, to his authority. I did that. Maybe you can say, I did it part of the time. Maybe you can say, what? I was supposed to do that? Yeah, I failed miserably. There are two kind of extremes here. Either you did it or you didn't. Maybe you did some of these things, but you didn't let him take total control. Jesus wants total control. Total control. Not just of your Sundays and your super duper big decisions, or just your small decisions, or just your family. But he wants total control. Do you know what usually the number one thing that we don't give God control over? Does anybody know? Our finances. God, you can have everything that I'm doing, but don't touch my finances. Why don't we give God total control? So why is it important that we give him total control? Well, if we continue on in the verse, in verse 47 to 49, Jesus says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built." Because it was well built. "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Why do we need to listen to God and obey him? Because that is the foundation of our lives. That is the foundation of our lives, is being obedient to Christ. He makes it very clear here. There's two types of people in this passage. There are those who hear his word and put it into practice. There are those who hear his word and don't put it into practice. Two different types. We would think that they're not that different because they're hearing the word, but they're completely different. Completely different. One is being obedient and one is not. Jesus tells us to follow his instructions because that's the foundation of our lives. When the waves come, when the winds come, when things go bad, guess what happens? We can stand firm knowing that we are his son. We are brothers and co-heirs with Christ, and nothing's going to shake that. No matter what happens. But when we don't put it into action, when the waves come, when the destructions, when travesty happens in our lives, we fall apart. Where do we turn? Sometimes we turn to alcohol, to drugs. We turn to places that we shouldn't turn. When all the time, if we had that foundation built on knowing who Jesus is and being obedient to what he says, it'd be great. It'll be fine. Everything's going to work itself out. I'm going to share just something real quick. This just happened, so this is like ad lib. Somebody today came up to me and was like, "I can't find something." And I was just like, "It's going to be okay." And they're like, "No, I just don't know what I did with it. I can't." And the thing is they found it. God's in control. It's not going to shake you. It's not going to change your outcome. Is it going to change your salvation because you couldn't find something? Is it going to change the fact that you're called a son or a daughter of Christ, of God? Things happen. Things are out of our control. This person, as soon as they found what they found, guess what they did? "Thank you, Lord." Give him praise to where praise needs to be. The thing is, things are out of our control. But we need to realize having that solid foundation is what we need. So check out this picture real quick, if this works. Oh, sorry. There we go. I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but that is a house on Mexico Beach. That house survived Hurricane Michael. If you look at that house and you look all around it, it's pretty much the only one standing on the beach. I don't know if you can notice it or not, but there's actually a little house right behind it. You can barely see a corner of it. It almost acted as a protection for that house as well. The owner of this house understood the importance of having a solid foundation. Where it said 4 feet, he went 8 feet. Where it said 4 inches, he went 8 inches. They had a little bit of damage to some windows and things, but nothing inside was messed up. The house stood firm. Again, he understood the importance of a solid foundation. You know what he did? He acted upon it. He understood. But now look at the picture also. You see all the what used to be homes around it. they had the same opportunity, the same choice to make when it came to building their house. How important is a solid foundation to me? How important is a solid foundation to you? Their houses, their foundations weren't solid. We have the same choice each and every day. What are we going to do? Are we going to act upon what God has told us to do? Are we going to be obedient to what Jesus is telling us to do? It's your choice. It's my choice. If we're truly listening to God, we are acting according to His will. We're acting upon what He's telling us to do. Back to that definition of faith. Faith is hearing what God is saying and acting accordingly. That acting accordingly is our obedience. Again, it's not easy to be obedient. Because when we're obedient to someone or something else, we're giving up our control. It's tough. It's not easy. But it's doable. So, I was faced with a decision similar to this a few years ago. I don't preach often, but I was preaching on Jonah. And guess what the topic was? Obedience. So I got to tell you, a lot of times when I preach, I'm not preaching for you guys. The message isn't for you. You just happen to be sitting here as I'm preaching to myself. I preached on obedience to myself. At that time, I didn't realize it, but I had a friend come up to me afterwards and said, "Why don't you preach more often? You should really pursue full-time ministry." And I'm like, "No, God's not telling me to do that." He's like, "Well, how do you know He's not telling you to do that?" And I looked him in the eyes and said, "I'm not asking Him." And that's honestly, that was my answer. That's not a good answer. I'm telling you, that's not a good answer. I was not being obedient. But I will tell you that I took that to heart, and I started questioning. I was like, "God, what do you want? Are you calling me into full-time ministry?" And sure enough, I had a couple of instances where God was saying, "Yes, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to pursue." And I said, "All right, if this is what you want, then I will pursue it." And so I started to, this was, I think, 2015, and I started to pursue it. I filled out all my application stuff. I did my licensing tests and things like that. And I put all my information in. And I was expecting to have, you know, my interview in December to see if I could get licensed as a pastor. And sure enough, they scheduled me for March. And I was like, "Wait a second, December, January, February, March. That's like 4 months. I'm going to be unemployed for 4 months here. I just sold my I was all in. I sold my truck," which was carrying around all my sports equipment for my business. I stopped scheduling work for my business. I bought a Mini Cooper. I mean, what kind of sports stuff can you carry in a Mini Cooper? A golf ball? I mean, barely. The thing is I was all in. I was all in for this. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I was like, "What, God, how can you, March? We can't afford to do this." And sure enough, the end of December, I got a phone call from the district, and they said, "Hey, we want you to come in for an interview in mid-January." And I'm like, "Mid-January? Let me see. Yeah, okay. I'm in." And so I got to go in for my interview mid-January. I sat in on my licensing interview, which, that was a whole nother story. If you want information about that, ask Jennifer after service. But it went well. I got licensed. And I will tell you this. If you are pursuing what God's got for you, if you're pursuing what He's telling you to do, guess what? He's going to make a way for it to happen. Because I, looking at it through my own eyes and my own worries and things, I was like, "This isn't going to happen. This isn't going to work." I mean, he was paving the way. He was making these things happen. And then he stopped for a moment. He's like, "God's taking a breath, and here we go again." But I didn't see that breath there. I was like, "God, you stopped. What are you doing? You've brought me all this way. Why now?" But when you're obedient to what God's calling you to do, He's going to make a way for it to happen. So here's what I want you to think about. Think about to whether or not you call Jesus Lord. Do you call Jesus your Lord? Because if you do, I really want you to think about, are you allowing Him to be actually your Lord? Or are you still Lord of your life? Because Jesus is asking, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's the verse. Those are the words straight from Jesus' mouth that we have, that he gave us instructions right here, written down for us. What are you doing? I'm failing. If you call Jesus Lord, Lord, and you're acting upon what he's telling you to do, great. Keep it up. Tell us how you do it. Share it with somebody. If you call Jesus Lord, Lord, and you're not having actions, the actions that he's calling you to do, not listening to what he says, welcome to the club. But that's not the end of it. That's not where it has to stop. Here's one. What if you don't call Jesus Lord, Lord at all? Questions, why not? He's there. He's waiting. He's paid the price for you to give you life. Life abundantly. What's stopping you from calling him Lord, Lord? I bet you there's one thing in particular that's probably stopping all of us from calling him Lord, Lord. And that's ourselves. That's ourselves. Because we're all selfish. Why do you think God told us to love our neighbors as ourselves? Who do you love more than you do yourself? Who do you take care of more than you take care of yourself? Why can't we call God, call him Lord, Lord, and give him control, total control? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to put these questions back up on the screen, hopefully. There we go. And I want you to think about your last week. I want you to just take maybe a minute or two. I'm going to invite Miss Allison to come up and play for us. And I just want you to take a minute or two and evaluate. Did you submit to his rule this week? Did he influence your decisions? And did you obey his direction and do what he says? Encourage you to just examine your last week. Take 1-2 minutes. Sitting here and we were actually thinking about our last week, we came up with opportunities where we could have followed his rule. We could have followed his influence in our lives and obeyed him better. But let that be a learning experience. Let's not stay living for last week. What can we do this week? What would your life look like this week if you lived for him? If you really thought about him being Lord over your life and allowed him to influence the decisions that you have to make, take like 30 seconds to a minute and just think about what your decisions that you have coming up this week are. And think about how you could allow God to influence those. Ever have in not being obedient and not listening to what Jesus is telling you to do, it doesn't even compare to the greatness of the worst day in doing what he says. Father God, I just thank you again for the opportunity to be obedient. You've called us here today. For some reason, Lord God, we're here today to show us what it is, Lord. As you show us, Lord, help us to receive that, Lord, and to act accordingly, to be obedient to what it is that you're telling us to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you please stand while we close out on this song?